Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. It is good to see you tonight. It's good to see young people. Amen? It's good to see people and to be around people. Hey, did you hear about the invisible man and the invisible woman? They had children. They weren't anything to look at either. Oh. Huh? No, it was mine. She actually laughed at it, so. By the way, did you hear about the school teacher? He wore a suit every day to school. But he always wore these outlandish ties. I mean, it was so bad that every day come in, the students and staff alike, they'd be waiting to see what kind of weird tie he had on that day. And so he retires after many years of teaching, and one of his fellow teachers runs into him. And he says to him, he says, "We really miss you in those weird ties you always wore. Why did you wear those ties like that?" He said, "I only had one suit." And nobody ever noticed. All right. I figure with the ties I have in my closet, if I start wearing two at a time, I could wear the same suits that I have the rest of my life. I'm just set. So, amen. I had ties that were given to me by my dad. He had about 30, 35 ties when he passed away. And that was some great big white ones. You remember those? You could use them for napkins. And put them around a kid's neck for a bib, you know. And I wore those for a long time until they were just starting to look a little hideous. And a lot of those I don't have anymore. But almost everything since then I have kept. And so they're in my closet. And once in a while, I have some of those on a hanger, and I look at them, and I just shake my head. The other day, I actually pulled one out and wore it, and nobody knew. "Preacher, you got a new tie?" "Nah, it's about 40 years old." "Seriously? Okay." Chapter number 15, and I want to begin reading. We're going to read a fairly lengthy portion tonight. I want you to get the backdrop and understand this. It's down towards the last that we're going to read and that we're really going to zero in on tonight. So let's notice here. Chapter 15 says, Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is, over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of their sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, Hey, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Let's stop our reading there. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. We have the privilege once again to gather. And Lord, we recognize that there's always a need in our hearts, something that all of us need. Spirit of God, you are the one who can meet those needs, and you're the one who can speak unto hearts, and so we ask that tonight. We pray for the filling, the power of the Spirit to move in amongst us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read the story of Saul's life, we recognize that he started out with humility, as he saw himself as the smallest among the smallest of the tribes. Matter of fact, even when it came time to anoint him to be king, he went and hid himself. But soon after he was anointed king, there came a testing. And that testing was that they would go into battle with the Philistines. We find from instructions from Samuel, back in chapter number 10, that they were to wait 7 days for the prophet Samuel to get wherever he was, that he might intercede to God for them. Chapter 10, verse 8 says, And they, thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days thou shalt tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. The seventh day had come, it had commenced, and Samuel had not arrived yet. But Saul's humility had become pride, and we find he takes Samuel's place and goes in and sacrifices to the Lord. And we find not long after that, on the seventh day, as he said, Samuel reaches Saul to do the job God wants him to do. Well, we find as a result, the kingdom would not endure. It would not go forward. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13, it says, Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established the kingdom upon Israel forever. And that is taken away. However, we find a chapter 2 later that God gives him another assignment. And in that assignment, he is to eliminate, he's to destroy all the Amalekites. This was to be a judgment upon them because when they were coming out of the land of Egypt, the Amalekites met them and sought to destroy them. You read about it in Exodus chapter 17. And yet we find something, and that is Saul leads all the people into battle, and they do almost all that God required of them, but not all. It's important for us to remember that. To obey partially is to disobey. And therefore, we find some great problem as we continue on tonight. So God sends Samuel to reveal God's judgment for his incomplete obedience to his word. And when Samuel meets Saul, we find Saul boasting of how they had won the battle and how they had done what God had wanted. But notice with me back in verse number 14, Samuel said after that bragging, "What meaneth them this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" What meaneth this if you've done what you're supposed to have done? And so Saul, he explains that they have brought the best of the spoil to sacrifice to God. Isn't it amazing when we sin against God, somehow we try to get back to something religious to make it look like that really wasn't our fault? Well, we find in what we've read here three statements that I believe are of utmost importance, and I believe there's an application for us as we note these three things. And I want you to drop down to verse number 22 with me. Notice verse number 22 with me again. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold," notice these words, "to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." What we learn here is that God places far greater value on our being obedient to his word than any religious act that we do. We can go through all sorts of hoops. We can jump all sorts of obstacles, and we can call them religious actions, but obedience is what God is looking for. We find that there were very definite sacrifices in the Old Testament. We find that God gave instructions very specifically on how to carry them out. And what pleased God is when they were willing to obey, to follow his instructions. Because when somebody obeys, it is a demonstration of faith. Obedience means that we are listening and we believe him. And that is pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Every parent in this room tonight understands this principle of this principle of obedience, or at least ought to. And it must be taught unto our children. It is an absolute must. The problem we see in our own country this day is that we have a generation before the young folks that are growing up that do not teach their children to simply obey. They don't do it. Many of them say, "Well, I try to reason with my child." What kind of reasoning does a two-year-old understand anyways? I'll tell you what they do understand. They understand the rod. And a lot of folks, they say, "Well, that's hitting your child. Call it what you will, but God recommends it very highly for us." Matter of fact, I find from the Word of God, the parent that won't use it doesn't really love their child. And so we need to teach that. Listen, God merits his word above all, for it is pure. He merits it above all. And so we find that obedience is far above sacrifice. If you go with me to verse 23 and notice the first portion of it, it says in verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." By the way, the next time you get together with family members and you brag about how stubborn your family is, remember that verse. You're bragging about idolatry in your life, sin in your life. Listen, rebellion is classified here as the occult. Did you hear that? It's classified as the occult. It says very vividly there, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is a synonym for disobedience. It comes from the root word rebel. And we find from the Word of God that God wanted us to deal very severely with witchcraft. In Exodus chapter 22, verse number 18, it says this very simply, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." You might remember this morning I said there are 16 different sins in which God wants the death penalty. There's one of them. "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Leviticus chapter number 20, verse 6, it says, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go after a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, will cut him off from among his people." God's trying to teach us something very important. Rebellion is in the same classification as the occult, that of witchcraft. In Leviticus 20, verse 27, says, "A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them." Does God love witchcraft? Not at all. And what does he say about rebellion? It's as the sin of witchcraft. To the rebellious person, I must say, your rebellion God looks at on the same plane as witchcraft. So let's get it straight. God puts those who are disappointing, disobedient to his word on the very same level. Let me say it again. God merits his word above all, for it is pure. And rebellion against it, God hates. Thirdly, I'd like for us to notice, it's also found in verse number 23, and it's the second sentence of the verse, and it says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Rejection of his word is serious business. It is serious business. Anytime we disobey his word, we have rejected it according to the context that we have before us. And I believe today men do not take their disobedience to God seriously. And like Saul, as a result, lose their position of influence in the lives of others. This is serious business to reject God's word. We find here that God says, "Reject it, and he hath rejected thee from being king." By the way, if you notice verse number 24, 25, and 26, allow me to read them. This rejection, it seems like, could not or would not be pardoned even with his confession. Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people who obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with me, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." He said to him a second time, "This is what's sticky. This is very serious business. You have rejected what I have told you because you disobeyed me, and therefore I reject you as king. You no longer have that authority." We find that even then, he seems to beg Samuel to do something. We find that he even grabs a hold of his garment as Samuel is departing from him. And yet there is no going back. He will not go back with him. Listen, rejection of his word is serious business. Do we understand something tonight? God merits his word above all, for it is pure. And so God tells us very simply that he wants us to obey. It's better than sacrifice. God very clearly wants us to understand that rebellion or disobedience is classified with the cultist. He wants to understand that when we reject his word, God said to do something and we will not do it, it is serious business. There are consequences that we will have to live with. It is just that simple. God merits his word above all else because it is pure. And for us to go against it almost demands, or could I just say demands, God to bring judgment upon us. Do we understand the importance of the word of God? Do we understand that following its directions should not be taken lightly? It's very serious business, for God merits it above all else. He exalts it above all else. How we ought to be obedient to his word. It's a show of our faith. It shows that we believe him, and what he says we're going to follow. And God loves that. Let us pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be able to have in our hands the word of God. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to hide its word in our heart. Lord, moreover, that we might understand the tremendous importance you place upon following, obeying your word. How you want us to understand that obedience is really connected to our believing the veracity of what you've told us. I pray you'll work in hearts. I pray, oh God, that we might go from here realizing the importance of this book. We pray as you bring us back this Wednesday night, we might come with open hearts and allow your word to infiltrate us and to do its job. Bless in that conference as we meet together with you and with these men of God. And for that, we'll be thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.